Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Forest spirits. Throughout all of human history, the forests of our world have always held a special allure. The trees have birthed countless legends and myths, as well as spawned all manner of forest entities, sprites, and spirits. Just walking amongst the tranquil woods, one can feel why this might be so, as it is a place that holds an almost mystical quality to it, sometimes even seeming like a place we don't even belong in at all. Over the ages, there have been many tales of encounters with the supernatural denizens of the woodlands of the world. And here we will look at some that take on a rather frightening quality to show that the forest can not only propel wonder, awe, and myth, but also fear as well. Some of the most spectacular encounters with strange, unsettling mystical forces in the forest are those accounts that describe seeing some sort of spooky wood spirit or perhaps even demons. These are those incidents in which people have come across what seems to be ghostly or magical entities somehow connected to the forest, and which likely did not mean to be seen at all. From the site, Your Ghost Stories, this is an encounter from a woman who had her bizarre experience as she was hiking in the summertime with her boyfriend in the mountains of Italy. On one of these peaceful hikes, she reached the end of the trail before her boyfriend, so she decided to wait there and enjoy the tranquil scenery while she waited for him to arrive. This is what she says happened next. I was sitting there on a rock, and I don't know how, but I felt something was in the woods behind me. Behind me there was a precipice, not very deep though, and the forest would cover the end of it and all around. I stood up and tried to see if there was something down there. That's when I saw it. I still get shivers when I think about it. Deep down there was a chamois, a beautiful one with long horns. I got excited because I rarely see one. I was looking at him from behind. His fur was light brown, and he had a black line that went from the neck to the tail. But something was very wrong with it. That's when I froze. His front legs looked like they didn't end with a normal cloven hoof, but he had three fingers at the end of his front legs, similar to a bird claw, but not that sharp. The back legs seemed normal. I could see it cause he was walking very slowly and calmly through the vegetation. Then I noticed with great horror that his face seemed flat, no muzzle. I couldn't look at him directly in the face, but I couldn't see his forehead and nose. What should have been there just wasn't. Thinking about it now, I really wish I had seen his face just to see how the eyes and mouth were organized. He disappeared in the pine's shadow, and I was still there shocked when my boyfriend finally arrived. I told him what I saw, and he didn't believe me. He laughed. I know it's not scary, and it can even be funny if you think about it. A chamois with eagle leg and flat face. I thought about it all the time we were descending. It was so weird. At the end, I told myself that I must have dreamt it, even if I would love to know that I wasn't the only one to see that thing. I like to think it was a deity that took the form of a chamois. There wasn't any village at the mountain's feet, so I couldn't ask if someone saw that too, or if someone knew nothing about a weird animal living in the forest. This was obviously not some normal animal of the forest. So did she happen to come across some forest spirit or deity, as she suspects? Or was this all some strange hallucination? Perhaps an even odder tale comes from a Reddit poster who claims that at the time he had been in the wilds outside of Houston, Texas, and what he describes as an isolated patch of forest by a creek. He had set a hammock up that evening and was relaxing, listening to the sounds of the night, when the strange came for him. He explains his experience this way. This night it was dark, like extra dark. I think the moon was covered up, but there was still enough city light to create a dim atmospheric glow, and I heard some movement definitely coming my way where I was on the creek, and it didn't seem as cautious as most of the other animals, which startled me. Whatever was coming my way was ballsy. I don't think I had my knife at the time, so I think I grabbed a stick and listened quietly as the sound got closer. It kept walking in my direction, but I could barely see a thing. Eventually, it got pretty close, and I could faintly see a silhouette. This wasn't an animal I had seen before. It was white with long legs, too tall to be a hog and definitely not a deer. It just stood there staring at me, as if it was pissed that I was in its spot or something. I don't think I made any sudden movements or anything, but just sat there, looking, trying to figure out what it was. Eventually, it went back into the forest, and honestly, even with how much I go through those same patches of woods, I haven't seen it again. I was thinking it was a wolf or a coyote, but this thing was white, like white enough to see him in almost pitch black darkness. And he had long legs and a real dignified demeanor, like he just stared at me, not scared at all, before he calmly disappeared. I ain't seen nothing like that before, and I ain't seen it since, nor have I seen any footprints or anything that really seem indicative of what it was. Just long legs, white fur, and a really calm, dignified demeanor. The whiteness also describes feeling a sense of power and menace from the entity. One odd account comes from a Reddit poster who says that his experience happened in the White Mountains of New Hampshire, which are a rugged portion of the northern Appalachian Mountains of the eastern United States. He claims that at the time he worked at the Appalachian Mountain Club at the visitor center, and that he would often stay there after hours. This was when he would begin to notice something rather odd in the nearby wilderness, and this would escalate into the truly terrifying. This is what he says. Every once in a while, as I walked from the dorms to the main building, I would see lights up on the mountain, and I usually dismissed it as some hiker or camper, and most other people did. It was a very rainy night, so I could have been hearing things or just my own paranoia, but some light seemed very close, and it bobbed up and down quickly, so I went to go see if someone needed help, but it quickly went out, and I could see from my own phone light what looked like a crouched, very dark humanoid shape hunched over. I ran. Fuck that noise. The next day, I asked the dishwasher, who I was very close to, and he had claimed to see something similar, but no one else had believed him, as he was pretty new as well. I had about 2 months left on my work contract, so I decided to keep quiet about it. Where I live, it's around an old paper mill, and I had a close friend come up, and we decided to go for a walk in the woods across the street. It was about midnight, and being college students, we didn't care about sleep at all. The area of woods we walked in used to be a street in the early 1900s, so there's a lot of road bits, but there's one specifically that I have no better way to describe than unearthly, damn near perfectly circular, and a lack of foliage around it. Again, I have no better way to describe it than it called to me. I had a weird possession to sit on this rock. I had my friend watch my back, as he had a weird feeling about it as well. About a minute in, we both got a splitting headache. As much as I wanted to get off this rock, I couldn't move. I was absorbed in something else. About another minute in, I called out to my friend to see if he saw anything, and he claimed to see a dark, hunched-over humanoid figure in one of the trees. I had to have him drag me off the rock, and we ran out of the woods. This account is interesting in that it illustrates a dark trend among some of these mysterious forest encounters, and that whatever these entities are, they sometimes seem to have malicious intent, perhaps even drawing us into their lair for nefarious reasons unknown. Such accounts seem to suggest that these spirits wish to pull us in and take us from the reality we know, to spirit us away. One report that follows this same spooky pattern is one that was given by a woman named Moira Dourley, who had been with a friend visiting a small island off the coast of Scotland called the Isle of Arran. The island itself is already rich in the lore and Celtic legends of fairies and forest spirits, and Dourley would actually report having several encounters with such beings. However, some of these meetings turned out to have a rather sinister air to them. One of Dorley's encounters happened as she was out enjoying the peaceful serenity of the unspoiled island, and suddenly noticed what looked to be a procession of tall, slender entities with dull gray hair, dressed in striped brown clothing and surrounded by smaller dancing, cavorting beings described as imps. Watching them, she felt herself falling into a sort of trance-like state and felt an overwhelming compulsion to follow this bizarre parade into the lonely wilderness. She went along with them in this daze and says she did not remember much of the walk, but that she soon found herself in a strange new location. She says of what happened next. We were soon inside a hall, which looked as if it had been hewn out of rock. Uh-oh. There was a long table where preparations for a meal had been made. Again, the imps tried to make me change my clothes, but I refused. The stripes stood very still, as if in anticipation. Perhaps they were waiting to see if I would sit at their table, which I couldn't bring myself to do. Then I heard the words, "You're the first person to come this way for 200 years. Come, be with us." According to Dorley, this ethereal voice was compelling and both angelic and evil at the same time. It sort of snapped her out of her stupor, yet she still describes the atmosphere as remaining languorous and dreamy. As the being stood around her, smiling and beckoning to her, she managed to find a reserve of strength within her to turn away and walk in the other direction, after which they vanished and she found herself by an unfamiliar stream. Even more shocking than this mysterious encounter was that when she was able to get her bearings and find her friend, he also claimed to have met the very same entities, and that they had implored him to stay with them as well. They would continue to see weird balls of dancing light or odd mists in the forest and hear disembodied singing from the trees, but they would not see the strange little beings again during their stay. What were these entities, and what did they want? Even eerier, what would have happened to these two witnesses if they had decided to stay as the entities had asked? In other cases like this, the forest entities are not seen, but they still seem intent on drawing the victim away into the forbidding wilds. On your ghost stories is the account from a witness in Croatia who seems to have been beckoned by some unseen force dwelling within the woods as he was out walking his dogs along a trail near a steep drop-off. The witness says of his spooky experience the following. "There was a new road going through my forest made last year. I walked my dogs there a couple of times, but I never went too far. Until this time, when I went all the way to the end of the road. There was a dead end, and after that, nothing but forest. There was also a cliff with a drop-off, so there was no more paths I or anyone else could walk. I sat there on the forest floor and was giving my dogs water when I heard someone calling me. He or she, I couldn't quite recognize if it was a male or female voice, were shouting my name. I wasn't quite sure if I heard it right, so I stood still and waited to hear if they would say it again. And they did. They repeated a few times, and now I was 100% sure they were calling my name. I thought it was maybe someone who I knew, so I shouted back. No response. They just continued shouting my name over and over again. I eventually got up and returned home. I could still hear my name shouted as I was walking away. I don't know what that was, and I'm also not sure if it was a person. Where were they? Because, as I already said, there was a cliff at the end of the road, not a place where people could walk, and the shouts were coming from that direction, from the forest, like someone was at the bottom of the cliff. I went down that road a couple more times after that, and nothing weird happened. I always feel kind of uneasy there, since that part of the forest is a bit dark, so I feel watched at all times, especially now since that happened. It's like I expect something is out there, just waiting on me." Considering the proximity of that cliff and the origin of the disembodied voice, it almost seems as if whatever it was may have been trying to lure the witness off of the trail and off of that cliff. Is that what was going on here? Or was it just his imagination playing tricks on him? It is hard to say, but an unsettling account nevertheless. One more account that seems related was given by a witness in England who had a couple of weird encounters with a forest spirit of some sort. It started when he went out for a walk in the forest near his house one day and ended up in a clearing where he explains what happened next. It was night when I arrived first, and I had to make use of a torch to get to the bottom of the hill, which looked out across the wide field. I lamented after a while, speaking my troubles to the wind, which blew back comforts at the ends of my sentences. It was then that I noticed something across the field, a small pinpoint light appearing for a moment before vanishing into the darkness once again. At first, I was about to leave, startled by someone obviously walking towards me with their phone out as a torch. But torches aren't that small, or perfectly round, orb-like, nor do they dance up into the air and fade out of existence. And no one would ever in a million years be able to walk through the slick muck without the aid of a light. So turning it on and off for a single moment would be pointless and ultimately fruitless. I stayed for a while afterwards, thinking I saw it again, but couldn't be too sure if it wasn't just my eyes playing tricks with me. The next time I went there was Christmas Eve. I once again sat there, this time in the forest itself, talking to seemingly nothing but something. I ended a sentence with a greeting saying hello to the whatever might live thereabouts. I was hailed by a guttural greeting back, short and clipped, rough but gurgled, like a wet rock going down a stream. No one was there. I was at the center, and the looseness of the trees let me see completely 360 degrees. As a result, was thoroughly freaked out enough to leave with a promise to come back another time. The witness in this case goes on to explain that he felt the presence he had encountered wanted him to stay or follow it, and it is hard to say what would have happened if he had. These particular sorts of accounts are very eerie, in that they seem to perhaps possibly tie into the myriad unexplained vanishings that have occurred in forests all over the world, such as those covered in the missing 411 series of books by David Politis. It makes one wonder if some sort of force, energy, or entity of the force could be luring some of these unfortunate souls in for reasons we may never understand, and are perhaps not meant to. Whatever the origins of these forces are, or whether they really even exist at all, they underscore the fact that these seas of greens have always had an allure, a mystique to them, and perhaps harbor dangerous things beyond our comprehension. Virginia's Haunted Forest. There is no shortage of haunted forests in the world. Indeed, a forest at night when there is no one around do tend to have a decidedly spooky vibe that is very fitting for scary stories and urban legends. It is often no wonder they are the scene of so many terrifying tales. Of all of these alleged haunted woods, perhaps one of the most allegedly active is a small remote woods in the U.S. state of Virginia, which is so thoroughly steeped in the unknown that it is almost in a category unto itself. Let us take a look at the weird and very often terrifying cursed woods of Virginia. Along the picturesque coast of Chesapeake Bay, located in the tidewater area of Matthews County, Virginia, is the quaint, sleepy little town of Diggs. Aside from its charming locale and scenic coastal scenery, the rural town is otherwise quite unassuming, and one wouldn't be inclined to think that there is anything particularly striking or out of place here, certainly nothing spooky or ominous. Yet, branching off from Diggs is a road called Haven Beach Road, which leads off to a nearby 50-acre patch of dense pine woods and boggy marshland nestled in the wilderness area near White Creeks. Although certainly spooky with its thickly packed trees that blot out the sky to make it a dark, eerie place, the wood is also fairly mostly unassuming and easy to miss among the similar scenery of the region, if it weren't for the fact that this particular forest has long been steeped and colorful history and a shocking amount of high strangeness and otherworldly phenomena, and is indeed considered to be one of the most haunted, cursed places in Virginia, if not all of the United States. Known as Old House Woods, the area was once a popular port before and during the Revolutionary War, both for soldiers as well as pirates, who used the dense wilderness area as a place to hide out and lay low, and bands of these pirates were often said to be camped out in the murky wilds here, to the point that it was considered a perilous area to pass through for travelers. It was also a popular port area during the American Civil War, when it was no less surrounded by tales of danger. Perhaps it is this history as a place of war, murder, and thievery that has so imbued it with a sinister reputation for all manner of legends and ghostly phenomena that spans over 200 years, which has also earned it the nicknames Black Forest and Haunted Woods. Indeed, even the origin of the name of the forest itself, Old House Woods, has hints of the paranormal. The name is said to have come from the fact that in the late 1700s, there once stood in the center of the woods a colonial wooden framed house known as the Franny Knight House, which, according to the lore, was a long-abandoned, decrepit structure that was haunted by ghosts and set itself on fire, only to put itself out again on its own. It then caught fire once again years later, again without any discernible cause, this time to burn down to its foundations, which are now overgrown and strangled with vegetation and are all that remain of the house today. Old House Woods and the nearby beachfront area are so permeated with legends and intense bizarre phenomena that it is hard to even know where to begin. Very pervasive are numerous legends of treasure and loot buried throughout the locale by both British soldiers and pirates. One such treasure is said to have been buried along the shore of White's Creek in the 1600s by one of the bands of pirates that were known to frequent the area. It is said that the pirates buried a sizable stash of gold coins here before heading out to get more. Unfortunately, their ship was said to have been lost at sea in a raging storm, and the treasure was never found. Spookily, if stories are to be believed, they did not give up on getting back their treasure even in death, and to this day, there are occasional sightings of a band of spectral pirates digging along White's Creek, still trying to regain their long-lost loot. Another treasure, said to be buried somewhere here, is that of a treasure-laden ship sent to America in 1651 by England's King Charles II in the wake of the Battle of Worcester, as a precaution in the event that he was forced to flee England to take refuge in the colonies. The ship was allegedly on its way to Jamestown when it got waylaid by a storm and found itself lost and meandering along White's Creek. It was here that the crew was ambushed by bandits who mercilessly killed them, stole the sizable haul of loot, and buried it out in Old House Woods for safekeeping, fully planning to come back later to retrieve it. Depending on the version of the tale, the bandits then either headed out to sea and were killed in a storm, or captured and put to death for their crimes. In either case, the treasure is said to have remained where it had been hidden. Again, this is another treasure which is said to be guarded by specters, in this case the restless spirits of the crewmen of King Charles' ship, who dutifully and perhaps eternally watch over it even in death. Some versions of the story even claim that the dead bandits also returned to the site to dig for the treasure in the dark of night, sometimes wielding glimmering ghostly lanterns. Another popular lost treasure tale in the area revolves around the Revolutionary War, during which in 1781, men under the command of the great British military leader and colonial administrator, General Charles Cornwallis, are said to have retreated into the woods from advancing patriots while hauling a large hoard of stolen loot to bring back to their commander. Realizing that they could not evade the enemy while carrying so much plunder, they allegedly hid it in Old House Woods at a spot near White's Creek with the intention of returning later to get it, but their later arrest in the wake of the war prevented anyone from ever doing so. Cornwallis's lost treasure is said to still be hidden out in the woods, hidden among the forgotten, scattered dead. Similarly to the other lost treasures tales, there are allegedly ghostly British Revolutionary War soldiers prowling Old House Woods searching for the hoard of gold and silver coins. With all of the alleged stashes of lost treasure reportedly buried within Old House Woods, one might imagine that this would be a haven for amateur treasure hunters, and one would be absolutely right. Over the years, many have gone to look for these fantastical treasures to no avail, and those are the lucky ones. One of the rumors about these lost treasures is that they have a way of making those who look for them disappear. There have been persistent stories of would-be treasure hunters entering the woods to never be seen again. And one particularly spooky story is that one of such treasure hunter, who allegedly found one of the stashes, only for his boat to be found drifting in the bay, carrying every old gold coin, but no sign of where the man had gone. He was apparently never seen again. It is unclear if these alleged disappearances have anything to do with all of the ghostly treasure guardians, or if they really even happened at all. However, a very real obstacle to looking for the lost treasure is the fact that much of the land of Old House Woods is now private property, so anyone looking to search for themselves should beware of both ghosts and landowners looking to punish trespassers. The ghosts of soldiers, ship crews, and pirates have a lot of company at Old House Woods, and indeed the area seems to be absolutely teeming with all manner of entities, phantoms, apparitions, and other peculiar ghostly phenomena. One of the most bizarre such phenomena is the presence of whole ghost ships that appear in the area. Perhaps the most well-known account of these is a sighting made in the late 19th century by a fisherman by the name of Ben Furby, who was out in his boat fishing on White's Creek near Chesapeake Bay when he allegedly saw something rather frightening. According to the report, a large massive wooden vessel like a galleon suddenly appeared with lights at every mast and spar, and shadowy crew members visible standing on board, peering off into the distance. The mysterious ship was headed right for Ferriby, whose call went unnoticed by the ship's crew and maneuvered his small skiff in a panic as it became clear that it was on a collision course. However, when the huge ship came looming over him and a catastrophe seemed inevitable, rather than the impact that should have surely come, the ship instead continued on right past him without incident, leaving churning waves and the sound of music like a harp in its wake. Ferriby stared in astonishment as the ship reportedly continued on its path, hovered up over the beach and proceeded to float up over the trees as if it were still on water. It was then that a rope ladder could be seen being dangled off of the sides of the phantom ship, with men carrying tools and other contraptions, climbing down it into the wilderness. There have been various other reports of phantom ships as well, usually describing a similar sight. A large wooden sailing ship of some sort, often described as looking like a Spanish galleon, which will either appear out in Chesapeake Bay or in White's Creek and float over water, sometimes as much as 50 feet over the waves, as well as over land and trees, before disappearing from sight, sometimes right before startled witness eyes. In most reports, the ship is completely silent, and it is often described as being wreathed in a mysterious fog that crawls in along with them. On occasion, shadowy crew can be seen on the decks, which seem to be oblivious to any attempts to call out to them or signal them. Some reports have told of the ship stopping in midair directly over the Old House Woods, where they proceed to disgorge ghostly crew that proceed to either search the area for something or simply vanish. In addition to ghost ships are the myriad apparitions said to roam these woods. One of the most famous is the ghostly figure of a woman who is said to be dressed in a flowing white gown, often described as emanating a blue or green glow, and with her hair appearing to be whipped around her by the wind, even on calm nights. Frighteningly, the spectral woman is known to walk among the trees or even float above the ground while unleashing a deafening, unearthly scream, and the lore is that her appearance is an omen of an impending storm, which has gained the nickname of the Storm Woman. It is believed that if the Storm Woman is seen, it is a portent of doom, and it is a good idea to vacate the area, as it most certainly means that a vicious storm is on its way to ravage the area. Another commonly reported ghostly phenomenon is the presence of spectral Revolutionary War-era British redcoats among the thick trees of the woods. One such account was given by a local resident named Henry Forrest, who often went duck hunting in the Old House Woods area along White's Creek. One night, Forrest claimed that he had been out hunting ducks when he came to an inlet and saw what he took to be a group of black ducks upon the water, which he prepared to shoot. As he raised his rifle, The black shapes then reportedly began to morph, pulse, and grow into the terrifying visage of ghostly redcoat soldiers, who then proceeded to march towards the startled hunter. Forrest made a hasty retreat back to a small boat nearby, which, much to his horror, had one of the phantom redcoats casually sitting within it. Forrest claimed that he threatened to shoot the strange intruder, and that its response was, "You shoot, and the devil's curse to you and your traitor breed." Apparently, this did not scare the hunter, who pulled the trigger only for his rifle to emit an impotent click. He fired again and again, only to similarly be unable to actually get his gun to work. The ghostly redcoat then began to rise, and that was when Forrest threw his rifle at it and ran away in terror. Other similar reports speak of being approached by marching bands of the spectral redcoats, or even fired at by them, with the ghostly bullets passing through bodies or obstacles without doing any damage at all. In some instances, these redcoats are said to be looking for something, likely the lost treasure of Cornwallis. Perhaps even weirder than ghostly redcoats is the stories of strange skeletons dressed in armor wandering around the woods. One witness by the name of Jesse Hudgens reported in 1926 that he had been approached by a group of mysterious strangers carrying lanterns that exuded an unearthly glow. As he came closer to the strangers, he noticed that they were skeletons wearing some sort of old-fashioned armor, one of which approached and waved an archaic sword menacingly at him. In another account, a man's car broke down on a lonely road through the woods, after which he reported being approached by what he described as a skeleton in armor. The skeleton approached the car and purportedly said, "Is this the King's Highway? I've lost my ship," which sent the terrified man running for his life, leaving his car behind. It is not even the ghosts of men that one should look out for here, but also those of various odd spectral animals. One such mysterious phenomenon is that of two black dogs that are known to pounce from the underbrush to terrorize passerbys, attacking cars, chasing people, and even on occasion jumping into truck beds to claw at the vehicle before vanishing into thin air. Sometimes only the barking of the dogs can be heard reverberating through the wilderness. There are also reports of phantom black horses, ghostly crows, and even headless cows wandering about the woods. The area has long been plagued by a variety of other miscellaneous strange occurrences. Travelers once refused to pass through the area, not only because of the pirates and bandits thought to be lurking within, but also because horses would fly into a panic in the vicinity or refuse to go any further. This feeling of dread extends to human beings, with some visitors being overwhelmed by a feeling of imminent doom or portent panic, with some refusing to continue past a certain point. There are also instances of people feeling like their breath has been drawn from their body, leaving them choking and unable to breathe. Since the area was first settled right up to modern times, strange orbs of light have been seen dancing through the trees, as well as a strange green glow said to engulf the entire area. There are also frequent reports of a strange smell like sulfur, which will suddenly pervade an area until it becomes an unbearably noxious cloud before fading away. Visitors who have braved the impressively bizarre lore to come investigate a reported phenomenon ranging from malfunctioning cameras and other electrical equipment to batteries suddenly going dead despite having just been recharged. Paranormal investigators that have come here claim to have collected photos of ghostly images, bizarre videos of strange lights or figures, and EVP recordings ranging from voices to footsteps to even the sound of cannon fire, all of which were not audible at the time of recording. Many of these stories certainly carry the distinct feeling that they are mere urban legend or spooky lore, and perhaps that is what some of them are. The dark wilderness, trees with branches that block out the sun, and the slightly unnerving quiet of this place all lend themselves perfectly to tales of hauntings and horror. Yet the sheer persistence of these stories and the myriad accounts going back over 200 years are enough to give one pause and wonder if there is perhaps something more to it. Is this just an old, creepy patch of woods saturated with dark history? Or are there really some unknown powers that make this place deserving of the title of one of the most haunted places in America? We may never know, but it is sure compelling to look in through the shadows and trees and wonder what strange mysteries they may hold.